Well, I'd like to speak a little this afternoon on vessels, as we were singing. Not what I want to speak about the Lord Jesus, you know, because he's the one that fills the vessel. But we're going to turn to a few scriptures that have to do with vessels. Now, this is a vessel. You know why? Because it has capacity. It has capacity. The vessel has capacity. Now we'll turn first to Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter. We're only going to read 4 verses here, the last 4 verses of the Gospel, chapter 5 of the Gospel of Luke, to introduce our subject. And it's like we had this morning, a parable. Now, why does God write in parables? Because only a spiritual mind can understand. What is a spiritual mind? One who simply has bowed to the Word of God. That's all. And you'll understand that. Spiritual mind. But also, he's given it to us in a riddle. That's what a parable is, a riddle. So that it will impress it upon our hearts so we'll never forget it. The poet has described it in this way. Barbed words that fasten where they fall and stay deep in the hearts of men and never pass away. Verse 36. And he spake also a parable unto them. No man putteth a piece of a new garment upon an old. If otherwise, then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agreeth not with the old. Now we'll stop there for a moment. Garment is character. When you and I came into this world, we belonged to a lost race. A lost race. We were sinners by practice and by nature. That was our character. Now, I know this has a special reference to Israel under the law as well. Their character was that they were a people under the law. Now, when the Lord Jesus came, he brought that which would make an entirely new character. And you can't put it on the old. Now, the illustration a woman would understand better than a man. Because if a woman wanted to patch a garment, and the garment was already rotted, you know what I mean, and she put a good solid piece of cloth on, the first thing you do and pull it, it would tear the old rotted garment, wouldn't it? And that's the illustration that's used. You cannot add Christianity to an old nature. You can't add it to the law of Moses. There has to be a new, entirely new order of things. And so it says here, the new agreeth not with the old. The new agreeth not. Old. You don't add it to the old. It has to be a separate thing entirely. Now that's the first thought. Now let's read on. And no man putteth new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. Now we have come to the subject of capacity. The bottle. And also the subject of wine. Wine is a parable too. Wine speaks of joy. There's old joy and there's new joy. You remember the woman in the 4th of John, she had a bottle. She had a vessel. And the Lord Jesus asked for a drink. He never got it, as far as we know. The natural man cannot give Jesus a drink. Not until he's born again. So we have here, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. The bottles that were used in those days were made of skin. They would last 1 year. They never thought of using them the next year to put grape juice in.
Thine heart.
Be gone. And then, dear friend, what will you have? You can't possibly take the things of Christ and put them in the old bottle. Where will the wine be when the bottle perishes? New wine must be put in new bottles. You must have a capacity that will never give way. You must have a new bottle. That is new birth. You must be born again. New birth is capacity. Unless one is born again, they have no capacity for divine things. You may gain a great deal of knowledge in your head, but it will never do you one bit of good until you've repented and acknowledged Jesus Christ as your Savior. I once listened to a man who stood on the platform, and someone would quote a part of a verse, and he'd give the reference to it just like that. He knew the Bible by heart. I doubt if the man was saved. If he wasn't saved, he had no capacity, though he knew all of Scripture. Isn't that sad? And some of these dear children who go to Sunday school and learn verses, and I wouldn't discourage it one bit, but remember this, you have to take Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. You'll never be born again. You must be born again. And so it says, no man putteth new wine into old bottles. That'd be foolish. The natural man knows that. Are you wise enough to know this in spiritual things? How about the new bottle? Take Jesus Christ as your Savior this afternoon. You've got a new bottle. You got a place to put the new wine. Now, just a word about the new wine. You know, if we had time this afternoon, and we don't have any time, but I'm going to refer to it. If you read in the 8th chapter of Proverbs, or in the 1st chapter of John, you would see the condition that was in the heavens before there was any created thing. The Lord Jesus was always rejoicing before the Father. Now you say, why do you refer to that? Because the end is going to be like the beginning for the Christian. Like the beginning was of the creation, so the end will be for you if you take Christ as your Savior. It'll be nothing but joy for all eternity. God gives us a little glimpse of the heavens and of eternity before any created thing. There's nothing but joy. Nothing but joy. Nothing to mar the tranquility of that scene given us there. Now that's the way it will be for those who have taken Jesus Christ as their Savior. But that joy begins down here. And it begins in a vessel. And so, it says, new wine must. Notice that must. Just like the piece of cloth. It must be put into new bottles. And both are preserved. Both the bottle and the wine. Isn't it wonderful that we're going to have bodies of glory? and we're going to have new wine in them for all eternity. New joy. Joy that this world will never know. Now the 39th verse. This is what characterizes the natural man unless the Spirit of God awakens him. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desireth new, for he saith the old is better. You hear people saying, oh, I wish my brother was saved. I wish my child was saved. What's hindering them? The old wine. They're taken up with that which would bring natural joys, they think. But you know, all those things are going to perish. And the best of joys down here are but for a moment. And then they're gone forever. Just a moment. But the joys we're speaking about are those joys that were here before any created thing was here. And they're still up there. They're still up there. They've never changed. There's never been a marring note in heaven where God dwells. Never. And there never will be. And that's where we're going. If you're saved. Well, now turn with me to the third chapter of John. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, or really, born anew is the real meaning of that. Not again or above, but anew. Born anew is the real meaning of that expression. He cannot see the kingdom of God. He must be born anew. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that's the word of God, water's a picture of the word of God, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. He can't see it, he can't enter it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now this was not really new to Nicodemus. In a sense it was, but it was, you'll find it in the Old Testament, and Nicodemus should have known this. Art thou a master in Israel, and thou knowest not these things? You know, this is strange, isn't it? That he was a teacher and a ruler in Israel, and he didn't know that there has to be a regeneration complete. In fact, it's not a regeneration exactly, it's a complete new thing. A complete new thing. Both were taught, in a sense, they're referred to in the Old Testament, both in Isaiah and Jeremiah. Complete new thing. Adam's race, in Adam all die. In Christ shall all be made alive. Everyone in Christ is made alive. There's no continuing of Adam's race. There must be a new birth. And you must be born anew. Not just again, but anew. That word has been abused even in the White House. As though it was just a change that the person makes. It's the Spirit of God that gives new birth only. Only the Spirit of God. It isn't a man changing his habits. Because that new nature has its own habits, and once you are born again, you don't have to try to do this or that. That new nature manifests itself. The one who's in communion. That's how simple the truth of God is. But now, we mentioned in the fourth chapter, we can't take time to read it, but we mentioned the fact that there was a vessel spoken of there. And the Lord Jesus meets this woman at the well. Now it's remarkable, isn't it, that the Son of God would take on a character and a body in which he would be dependent upon his creature man for a drink. Isn't that strange? And why did he do it? Well, because in this chapter he brings out the precious truth of the church in type. This woman was a sinner. And that's the kind of material that the church is built out of. Sinners saved by grace. And so we see this picture here of this woman who was an outcast, and the timing was just right. Just as she comes to the well, Jesus comes there. You know, the Lord Jesus always acted in the right way at the right time. And that is what characterizes the new nature, too, in man. To do the right thing at the right time. What did he mean when he said to his disciples, are there not 12 hours in a day? What did he mean? He was going to Judah. And they said, don't go back there, they want to kill you. He said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Well, what he meant was, that the light was of his own pathway was so clear as if it were a noonday for him. He had no problem as to his pathway. He had no problem. The Lord Jesus always walked according to the instructions of his Father. And that's what the new man does, that he's walking according to the truth. And here he is, the right time in the right place. The brother told me that he had walked all night and all that day till 6 o'clock, because this is 6 o'clock at night that he meets this woman. See, the time in John is different from the other gospel. But now, not to tarry here, she can't bring him a drink, but he speaks of living water. And the result is that he reveals himself to her as to who he is. And she has a bottle, you know. She has a vessel that she's been drawing water. And after she has discovered who he is and who brings living water, she leaves her water pot. She leaves her water. Her water pot represents all that she might gather for refreshment in this poor world. And when she found the Savior, she knew that it would do her no more good, and she leaves it completely. Have you left the water pot behind? That old water pot that'll never give you any satisfaction. Every time she went to the well, she had to go a little deeper to get the water. Never lasted. He that drinketh of this water shall thirst again. He that drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But there shall be a well within, springing up into everlasting life. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? It means the deepest truth that God has ever given to man. Out of his belly. There are no deeper truths than that which is given to the church here on earth now, to be a part of the body of Christ. And now let's turn to the second chapter of John.
see, each of these is a subject of his own, but they're connected. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, having the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. So they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine. When men have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Now we've come to the point filling the vessels. We notice, too, that in the first instance, we spoke of vessels being made of skin. They last 1 year. But we find that these vessels that we've just read about were made of stone. I suppose clay formed into stone through baking. And now notice that there are 2 or 3 firkins apiece. There's no 2 alike. And throughout eternity, you'll never see 2 things alike. Never. You can't in this creation. You can't find 2 snowflakes alike. You can't find any 2 things alike. What a wonderful God we have. And he forms each believer for a special purpose. And no 2 alike. You have a special place in eternity. Just think of it. And you know he's forming you right now for that place? That's the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Washing of water by the word. And he's soon going to present you to himself, the whole church, his bride. Well, we have here a marriage, a picture of that which is the most joyful occasion here on earth, marriage. You know, God wants to fill your mind and your heart with those joys that he himself is engaged in. He wants you now to be enjoying those things because that's what fills heaven. And you're soon going to be there. Don't you think it'd be a good idea to prepare your hearts already for those things that you're soon going to have for all eternity? Do you think it'd be better to get all filled up with that which has to do with the old water pots down here? And you've had such wonderful things in Christ presented to you? Think of what you have. You have a new nature. All your sins are gone through the precious blood of Christ if you believe in Jesus as your Savior. You're born again. You have a capacity for divine things. You can enjoy the very things that God enjoys. You can feel at home where He is at home. You have a nature that will do that. That's what is meant by what the Lord Jesus answered his disciples. If the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Those are the sandals that were put on the prodigal's feet. He was at home in the Father's house to go anywhere. That was the custom. Only the sons wore sandals. the house. Oh, what a picture God gives us. And you know that reference that was made this to the 15th of Luke. You'll find that every one of those things were never mentioned before in the scriptures. All those things that the prodigal received, the new garments, the ring, shoes on his feet, everything, they're all new. All the result of the work of Christ, never known before. And they're yours for the asking if you take Jesus Christ, your Savior. But now we have a wedding feast. And at this wedding feast, what you would expect would be joy. But the mother of Jesus said they have no joy. They have no wine. And that's the character of this world. And dear friend, I don't care what kind of a feast you have down here. If you leave Christ out, you don't have any joy. Never will. And you might have a little momentarily laughter and so on. But you won't have joy. The joy we're talking about is that joy which never, never will cease for all eternity. They have no joy. Oh, what a picture of this world without Christ. But Christ can bring the joy. He's invited to the feast, and he brings the joy. And he brings it in such a gracious way that it's hardly noticed. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. Does that ever come home to your heart? That whatsoever he saith unto you, do it? You better do it. It's the only one way that you'll ever have joy. Obedience and dependence is what characterizes Christianity and faith. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's the basis of happiness down here as Christians. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. 6 is man's number. And the purifying of the Jews has to do with the conscience that's awakened as a result of all that's gone before in the history, in the ministry of the prophets, and all that's gone before, because John the Baptist is the one that brings in repentance, and that prepares the soul for Jesus, if he repents. And here we have vessels, water pots, that are just ready for the water. Now, dear friend, this afternoon, if the purifying of the Jews hasn't taken place, you're not ready for the water. If there's never been any repentance in your soul, if you've never confessed yourself as a guilty sinner, you're not ready for any water. No, not a bit. They were set there, 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews. These are ready for the water, and they're permanent vessels. And the instruction is, fill the water pots with water. Oh, but you say, I thought the subject was wine, joy. It is. But here we have water. Now remember this, parents. You cannot fill the hearts of your children with wine, that is joy, but you can fill them with water. That's the word. You can fill them with water. God will take care of the rest. You be sure that you fill the hearts of those children with the Word of God. and you preach the gospel, be sure you fill the hearts with Christ. God will take care of the wine. You take care of that. It's your place just to fill with water as a servant. So be obedient and fill the water pots with water. Oh, how precious the water. Man can't live without it, I think over 11, 12 days. Naturally. Now notice what the servants do. They took it seriously. They filled it to the brim. Isn't that good? Filled it right up to the brim. No half-heartedness about this. You want the full blessing? Fill it to the brim. Now draw out. Now what happens? You'll see that thy profiting may appear to all. Why? Occupy yourself with the Word of God. Your profiting will appear to all. Draw out now, bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, and now notice, but the servants which drew the water knew. You know, it's a wonderful thing to be that close to the Lord, to serve Him. Because the servants know what's going on. They knew. They knew. They knew where this came from. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and he saith unto him, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine. That is, when they start the feast, they set forth good wine, and after men have been drinking a while, they can't tell the difference. Then they bring on the old wine, or the poor wine. They can't tell the difference. But now we have something new. We have the good wine reserved for the last. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. That's what you'll find if you know Christ as your Savior. You'll find out that there's no end to the good wine. It doesn't turn to something that's put on you that's poor, which the enemy would do, you know, ordinarily. Get you enchanted with the what's in the old bottle, and then gradually give you the poor. No. You know that God has set Christ to be blessing? That's the 21st Psalm in the margin. He has set Him to be blessing. If God has set Christ as a man to be blessing for your soul, are you going to get any poor wine ever? Never. In fact, it'll be better every day. Every day you know Christ, it'll just be better and better and better all the time. Oh, how good it is to fill these bottles, these children's hearts, with the Word of God. And the time will come when it'll be manifested that that water will be turned to wine. And how satisfying to the parent when he finds out that the water has turned to wine. And how good it is to see those that you have given the gospel to, who were never interested, didn't want to hear it. Finally, someday you see the word takes effect. The Spirit of God turns it to wine. Inasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And so we have the privilege then of filling the vessels with water. The parent has, the servants have the privilege. Do exactly what they're instructed to do, just fill it with water. That's all. Oh, you say, well, I'm not a preacher. I can't do that. You don't have to be a preacher. All you have to do is quote a verse. How many people have been saved through one verse, and it only takes one verse to get you to heaven? One verse. But you need the whole Bible to live by. One verse to get to heaven. Well, our time is up. But saith unto them, every man at the beginning to set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept a good wine until now. And I don't know when that now is ever going to end for the Christian. Oh, what a day lies ahead. And just one verse in the end of closing, and one verse in the end of Ephesians 3. This will be the result of that wine that's put in those permanent vessels. Twenty-first verse. Now we read the 20th with it. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. That's the Spirit. Now this verse. Unto him be glory in the church. Notice that. Notice this verse carefully. This is the result of the water that filled the vessel. Unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. This verse takes you further into eternity, I believe, than any other verse in the Bible. And there the church is seen as the instrument by which the glory goes out, the glory of God manifested, exhibited, shall we say, to all creation in that coming day. The church will be the vessel. The vessel that's been filled with water that he's turned to wine. Shall we sing 193?